from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have been vice president for 3.5 years. Yeah. The steps that you're talking about now, why haven't you done them already?
Well, first of all, we had to recover as an economy, and we have done that. I'm very proud of the work that we have done that has brought inflation down to less than 3%. We created over 800,000 new manufacturing jobs, bringing business back to America. What we have done to improve the supply chain so we're not relying on foreign governments to supply American families with their basic needs, I'll say that that's good work. There's more to do, but that's good work.
Kamala Harris seeming to struggle explaining how she thinks the economy is doing well, even though Americans are being crushed by rising prices. She brags about putting out the fire, but she ignores the fact that she and Joe Biden started that.
Started that fire, he says. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara. Cue up the Billy Joel song, right?
I mean, okay. Where to even begin with this? Yeah. I mean, it's just lies on top of diversions, on top of a fundamental inability to live in actual reality. And that reality is this. Donald Trump handed off in January of 2021, when these two were sworn in, a 1.4% inflation rate. That is historically on the low side. Normal, you know, healthy economy, 1.6, 1.7% inflation. They didn't fix anything. They were handed a healthy economy that was putting the jobs back that had been lost during COVID. It was handed to them. They're acting like they inherited the inflation. I can't believe this. Now, they were handed a healthy economy and announced almost immediately, we're going to print $2 trillion. That is the most that has ever been printed in human history. It was historic because it was the first bill to be entirely funded by printing and borrowing. It had never happened before. Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, Democrat advisor to two Democrat presidential campaigns in that cycle, said, OMG, no, please, you're going to get what? Say it with me. Inflation. Please don't do this. She ignored him. She cast the tie-breaking vote for that bill to print more money than anybody ever had in human history to find out what would happen. And then we found out what would happen. It was called 9% inflation. And that's what happened. And this is, Lee, you're looking at why this woman could not do interviews. You have to lie your rear end off because you cannot, no way, no how, in the known universe, in this time-space reality, defend your record. Because your record is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. What did you think of this interview?
I'm still stunned by this thing about her saying that her values have not changed.
Yeah.
So my follow-up question then would be, if you are changing your policy but your values have not changed, then are you an opportunist or are you a liar?
And that was her answer on flip-flopping.
Yeah.
Well, have you flip-flopped? Well, yeah, of course she's not really flip-flopped on one or two things. Politicians do that. Pretty fairly normal. She's flip-flopped on who she is. Every major issue with the exception of maybe abortion. She has flipped on. And she did it simultaneously in a New York Times article. We believe. We don't actually know. Because she sent unnamed staff members of her campaign to go behind, off the record and leak the rumor that she had changed all her views. No one's actually heard that from Kamala Harris. And that didn't change last night. We have rumors and innuendo as to what she did believe before at another point in time and what she might believe in this time now, mm-hmm. unburdened by the past beliefs she had that have been. Does that make sense? Heck no.
Yeah, that's more word salad.
I know. And last night was just one big word salad. It was a mess. And she's asked, what are you going to do on day one? What would day one look like? You know, we're all afraid of day one, right? Because we know how the last 1,300 days have gone. And we know how poor we are now. We know what it's like to check out at the grocery store. Listen to the day one word salad.
What would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward. In a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism.
What the heck is that?
Like Byron Donalds was saying, the Republican congressman from Florida, you know, you had 5 weeks to prepare for this, and this is the best you got? I mean, what a mess. What an absolute mess.
You know, just to frame the absolute economic destruction of the middle class in just 3 years. There is a stat this week that is not getting enough attention. This should be headline news. If you use me for show prep, talk about it today. I know a lot of people do because I'm on the East Coast to go first. This is the best talk radio. This station all day long is best talk radio on the East Coast. So listen, go find this, okay? The chief economist for the MLS, multiple listing service, that's where you put your home if you're going to sell it, right? Multiple listing service. The chief economist for the multiple listing service said, the upward pressure on home prices is making this the most, think about this for a minute, the most unaffordable housing market in history. Let that sink in. The upward pressure on home prices is making this the most unaffordable housing market in history. You have done something that was not even achieved, Lee, in the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. Trump did not do this. This was not the case when Trump took office. She doesn't say we achieved that 3 years ago. We did it now. How do you measure that mathematically? Usually I clear off my desk every week, you know, at the end of it and put it in all the right stacks and so I can move on. But I can't clear this off my desk. This stat from the Congressional Budget Office provided to the House Ways and Means Committee. It's from last week. Mortgage cost increase since January 2021. Why is that significant? That's when they were sworn in and the economic apocalypse began for any person in the middle class who wanted to own a home, which you could do as a middle class person before. Mortgage cost increase since January 2021. I'm gobsmacked by this. $970 a month. That's the increase, not the mortgage. My entire mortgage, Lee, is not much higher than that.
No.
Okay. Mortgage cost increase per month since January 2021, $970. Per month? More?
Yeah.
And that's just for a median house. That's your average everyday house, nothing special, what a middle class family lives in. Drive by dozens and dozens of them on my way to work. That is, for anyone keeping track, an 85% increase in mortgage costs since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris took office.
Less than 4 years.
Yeah.
And the cost of it has increased by 85%.
Now, here's the second line from the chief economist for the multiple listing service. Again, these are the people who would know, right? They watch the sale of every house in the country. They all get sold on the MLS for the most part. I mean, some people do private sales, but it's pretty rare. Let me read it again. Lisa Sturtevant, MLS chief economist. The upward pressure on home prices is making this the most unaffordable housing market in history, in the history of the country. Now listen to this. First time and moderate income home buyers in particular increasingly are being left out of the housing market. It's over for them.
And that's not a Trump talking point.
No!
That's coming from an organization, quite honestly, that, as far as I know, is pretty much apolitical. They don't care as long as, you know, they can move houses. That's what they're concerned about.
Right. And they track housing trends. So this is their chief economist. Most unaffordable housing market in history. First time home buyers, forget it. Forget about it. You're done. Moderate income, you're done. Not accessible. So, you know, while Kamala and Joe's friends in the Hamptons are doing well, and people who live in the mansions in Virginia and Maryland and commute into D.C. where they live off the oxygen of printed dollars, they're doing fine. But in the real world, the middle class can't buy houses anymore. They can't. 3 years? Lee, what could she do in four more? Unburdened by the passage of time. I don't think it's an exaggeration or hyperbole to say she could finish off the middle class, given what I just laid out there. And this is what every talk show host should be talking about in the nation when she talks about how she fixed the economy. Fixed it. Well, when fixed means we never really wanted a middle class, we are trying to destroy the middle class so they will be dependent on us in government. We're trying to jack prices through the roof to get the ability to do the price controls my father did as an economist in Jamaica. By the way, she copied the price control idea too from her dad. It's the only, her dad's name's Donald too. It's the only thing she took from the other Donald.
Kamala and paste.
Yeah, go look up how price controls worked in Jamaica. She saw that when her father advised the Jamaican government to do price controls and wants to do it here, despite people went hungry, they had empty shelves, they had black markets and a lack of food. And she sees that and goes, well, we've taken houses away from the middle class. Let's move on to food. She knows how this ends. Her dad did it. She couldn't have missed that. Her dad, by the way, who was hired by Stanford University after the Marxist students there protested that there was not a Marxist economist in the economist department, in the economics department. So they hired her father, an open avowed Marxist, to make them happy. And then Jamaican government hired him to fix price inflation with price controls. Now she wants to Jamaica my America. Unburdened by the constraints of time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning on this going into Labor Day weekend. Yeah, you going to cook out? Your cookout going to have as much stuff as you would have bought in previous years? No. You do what I do. You load into your cart what you would have bought before. Then you take some of it out when you see what it adds up to. She's going to fix the economy. The economy was fine when it was handed to her. These two added $970 per month average to the cost of a mortgage in 3 years. How did that happen? Why is this specifically her fault? She cast the tie-breaking vote for the American Rescue Act. The guy who whipped the votes for that in the House, Jim Clyburn, number two, I play it every time, number two in Democrat leadership, said, we knew this would happen. We knew there'd be massive inflation. We were okay with it. We were more than fine with it. We knew this would happen in the middle class. And here he is. She cast the tie-breaking vote in the Senate.
You start putting money out the way we did with the Rescue Act, are you going to fan inflation? That I know. That's elementary.
In a second interview, just to make sure we understood, the Democrats deliberately screwed us, okay? Jim Clyburn is the number two in leadership. He whipped the votes for this.
Well, let me make it very clear. All of us are concerned about these rising costs, and all of us knew this would be the case when we put in place this recovery program. Anytime you put more money into the economy, prices tend to rise.
What do you have to do to stop runaway inflation? You got to raise interest rates, right? So let's go back to the $970 mortgage cost increase per month. What is that? Well, that's inflation hitting the cost of a house from all the money printing. Like Jim said, we knew we were going to make you poor. That's what we wanted. That's why we passed it. Inflation is not an accident, in other words. It is the desired outcome. So how do you get $907 more a month out of that? It had nothing to do with supply chain. It had nothing to do with COVID. None of it. It's from the printing of money. They printed on average $1 trillion. Once Joe Biden took office, they printed on average $1 trillion extra beyond the budget every quarter. That's what did it. In human history, okay, that much money has never been printed before. We did not know what would happen, but we had a pretty good idea it was going to be bad. So how do you get to $970 a month extra increase in the cost of a mortgage for just an average house? Well, part of that is the inflation on the houses. Increase the price of the house dramatically from $307,000 average for a median-sized house to about $460,000 in 3 years. And then to tamp down that inflation so it doesn't go Venezuela style, you got to hit it with the interest rates. And that just adds hundreds of dollars a month in cost to a mortgage. You don't get anything for that. You get air, word salad, whatever. She says they're going to fix... She takes credit for... She calls this, what I just described, fixing the economy. This is fixing the economy to her. And that's the scariest thing of all.
You have been vice president for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
The steps that you're talking about now, why haven't you done them already?
Well, first of all, we had to recover as an economy, and we have done that. I'm very proud of the work that we have done that has brought inflation down to less than 3%. We created over 800,000 new manufacturing jobs, bringing business back to America.
I can't let her keep lying. I'm sorry. No, actually, honey, last week, if you read newspapers, yeah, we lost 115,000 manufacturing jobs. They were part of the jobs apocalypse that we're having, where 800,000 of the jobs you're taking credit for creating aren't even real. They wiped them off the board because y'all lied. Brian Bamberg, economist from King's College, listened to this word salad where she claims she inherited a bad economy and fixed it. Yeah, fixed it so good. You pay $970 more a month for a mortgage than you did 3 years before. The MLS says this is the worst housing market for affordability in U.S. history, and that the middle class are priced out. That's her fixing an economy. Listen to this. Brian Bamberg, economist.
That's the thing. She's like, we had to fix all this stuff. And it's like, no, actually, we were in a pretty good spot. And then under you guys, we got that price thing. And we got that you can't afford a house thing. That's not good work. That's the question that Dana Bash is asking you. And like every other question, she couldn't answer it. I mean, it wasn't even that she couldn't give details. She couldn't even trace the logic of how she's going to try to address these things with a second crack at it, maybe, as president. And as an economist, that's what gets me. Okay, I want somebody who's coherent on economic issues. She knew she wasn't coherent on these issues. That's why she was looking down at the table and looking around and avoiding eye contact. I mean, a little self-confidence would actually be nice here. You didn't even get that.
I mean, Paul Krugman says...
Yeah, so that was from Fox News. Texter writes in the comments, says retirement planning at text line. Yep, you used to be able to buy the median home on a $50,000 yearly salary. Now it takes a minimum of $100,000 figure salary. Actually, Zillow reported it was $114,000. When they took office, you could buy the median-priced home if you had an income of $48,000. Now it's $114,000. Texter writes, morning's here. The crazy thing is half of America is going to vote for her. Also, why is it that I don't hear any other talk show talk about the things you do love the show? It's because of the massive amount of research that goes into this show. It's unlike any other. And this show is actually around the clock effort by my husband and I. He goes to bed at midnight every night so he can stack everything that comes out after 9, and I get up at about 3 and I read it. So we prep around the clock. It takes two people to do this. This is the way that we do it. And that's why you hear facts you don't hear anywhere else. Because we are a two-person newsroom and I'm the side of it you hear. This is our passion. So this is what we do. I love what I do. I love to dwell in reality. Marcus is on the text line. Longtime texter, longtime listener. He and his wife are expecting their fourth child. That is fantastic. I bumped into Marcus in Walmart and he told me they were planning the fourth child. And he said they were going to put it off for a little while. I said, never postpone joy. Go for it right now. I speak my mind in person too. So I'm so glad that you guys are expecting the fourth little one. Congratulations. I'm jealous. That's fantastic. He writes, oh, cool. And our first little girl. You got three boys. We have to buy a larger home and we are dreading the new mortgage, which is expecting to be triple what it is now. So says Marcus. Unbelievable. Texter writes, I furthered my nursing education 3 years ago. My income doubled. My husband works full time and we are barely making it. Everybody is like you. I know it's stressful and scary and just know you're not alone. Just because the media won't fully acknowledge your pain because it hurts the Democrats doesn't mean you're alone. Texter writes, hey, Tara, she was not looking at the table. She was referencing her script. Texter writes, think about it. The 20-minute interview consists of the good parts they allowed us to see. I know this was heavily edited. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Texter writes, bought MT house. I think they mean my house. I don't know. 5 years ago, mortgage up $80 a month because of property taxes and insurance. Yeah, everything's going up. And finally, Texter writes, you think the Democrats are ballsy enough to replace Kamala after Trump destroys her in the debate? There's no way they can cheat enough for that box of rocks. Even the MSNBC crowd knows. I bet you if I went to a grocery store when one opened this morning and I asked Americans, as Joey Hudson does when he does Man on the Street, hey, he should do this actually. Do this one. What's the biggest driver of our economy? Like what category? Anybody know? They probably say tech. It's not. It's not. It's the minerals and mining category. Not very sexy, but it is. It is the biggest contributor to our economy and GDP. What is minerals and mining? What is that? About 80% of it is extracted by fracking. It counts minerals, but the mining is also for natural gas, it's for oil, and then there's some other stuff in there, lithium and things like that, rare earth metals, all kinds of things. But the main drivers there are natural gas and oil. And every quarter during the Trump administration, you remember what a good time that was economically, every quarter, 28% of the economy, the largest chunk was 28 to 32%. And I did it every quarter. I pulled it. I pulled the numbers. It was the biggest chunk of our economy, the biggest driver, always 28 to 32%. So when you say, oh, we're just going to eliminate that, that'll go away. And yeah, we don't need it. Wow. You're talking about economic suicide. That's what we're contemplating. And Democrats throw this out like we just won't even notice. We already can't buy houses. We're struggling to buy food. Yeah, let's get rid of it. Yeah, let's go away. No big deal. You won't notice. I love these liberals. They expect to drive their stupid little cars like up to the gas pump and fill them up. Or get this. This is the funniest part. To plug the car into the wall and they think energy will come out. Not if we ban fracking, it won't. I don't use gas. I'm a liberal. I prefer clean energy. Oh, cool. Where's the energy come from? The wall. It comes from the wall. It comes from the plug in the wall. Cool. Where's that come from? Gaia? Fracking, you idiot. It comes from fracking, which is... the mining and minerals category, 28 to 32% of our economy, depending on the quarter. So this is not just fracking and, hey, where would you like to get your energy from when you plug your little car in the wall? This is life or death. We move food with energy. Go. Listen to the casualness here. Kamala Harris, will you ban fracking?
And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
She made it clear on the debate stage in 2020. That I'm not flip-flopping here. Actually, she is. CNN cold busted her butt on Lion last night. No, I'm not against fracking. I made it clear in 2020. I'm not against fracking. Here's the CNN fact checks. That true?
The only debate she participated in 2020 was the general election debate with then Vice President Mike Pence. And I went over the transcript of that debate tonight. Nowhere in there does she make clear that she had abandoned her previous support for a fracking ban. Rather, she repeated that Joe Biden, the head of the Democratic ticket at the time, would himself not ban fracking. So listen to what she actually said in that 2020 debate.
Joe Biden will not end fracking. He has been very clear about that. I will repeat, and the American people know, that Joe Biden will not ban fracking.
So it makes perfect sense that at the time she was speaking on behalf of Biden, the president, not the vice president, sets administration policy. But maybe other people feel differently. I certainly did not hear anywhere in there Kamala Harris saying that she personally had abandoned her previously expressed 2019 view. Rather, again, she was speaking for Joe Biden.
Let's do it in two words. She lied. She lied her rear end off, and that's why she didn't want to do this interview. She cannot answer the questions. Not because there's something wrong with her, although I do think she's a little off. You can't, when you flip-flop like this, you can't answer the question.
And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
Again, CNN.
The only debate she participated in 2020 was the general election debate with then Vice President Mike Pence. And I went over the transcript of that debate tonight. Nowhere in there does she make clear that she had abandoned her previous support for a fracking ban. Rather, she...
That's the CNN fact checker. And what did she and Joe actually do when they took office?
The Biden-Harris administration on day one, when they took office, banned fracking on federal lands. That is a fact. So if she's so for fracking, why did she allow that to happen? But of course, Dana Bash didn't bring that up.
Yep. There you go. Unburdened by the passage of time. What does the real Kamala Harris think here? Let's just be clear. What does she actually think?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. You know, we have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. I think about this issue through the lens of my baby nieces, who are 1.5 and 3 years old. And when I look at those babies, and I think about what the world will be like in 20 years if we don't act, I'm really afraid.
That's the real Kamala Harris right there. So there was that time when I served in Iraq. Or was it Afghanistan? I don't know. We were pinned down by the Taliban. I thought I was going to die. And thankfully, I was holding my weapon of war. And we escaped. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That didn't happen. It's all coming back to me now. Sorry, that was just a grammar error. Tim Walz, man. What is wrong with that? We need a psychological study of this guy. This guy is badly off. Talking about how he says he carried a weapon of war, a gun, he means, in war, and he wants to take yours. You carried it in war? You sure about that? I know it's been a number of years. Are you sure you went to war? Yeah, people can be, he just explained, that people can become confused and make grammatical errors. Like saying they were in war when they were not in war. Ever?
You said that you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country. Equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So
he's not answering the question. So, to her credit, one of the few follow-ups she did when they lied, Dana Bash, CNN, well, that we know of, I mean, because the interview was heavily edited, she asked him again, okay, but you said you carried it in war.
And the idea that you said that you were in war, yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English, you told me my grammar's not always correct. But again.
Yeah, I said in war. And what I meant was us in Italy. Yeah, because the base is there. Didn't deploy into the actual war, though. All my buddies did. I was their leader. When I found out I had to go, I quit, which is fine. I mean, you know, you'd serve 24 years. Everybody honors you for that, serving the National Guard. The problem is, when you wanted to get the glory of having been in war, you told everybody you served with your buddies in war, when you never got beyond Italy, where you deployed for some training. I maybe ate too much one night and had a, you know, need a little Pepto-Bismol, and it felt like war. But I mean, ISIS was not war. And that is not a grammar error.
And the idea that you said that you were in war, yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English, you told me my grammar's not always correct. But again...
So hard to get that grammar right. In war, out of war, in Italy. It's very confusing. Maybe he was drunk, like really drunk, like he was when he got that DUI and then lied about the cop, said the cop was confused, thought he was drunk, but it was just his hearing problem that he doesn't have from war that he wasn't in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you if I went to a grocery store when one opened this morning and I asked Americans, as Joey Hudson does when he does Man on the Street, hey, he should do this actually. Do this one. What's the biggest driver of our economy? Like what category? Anybody know? They'd probably say tech. It's not. It's the minerals and mining category. Not very sexy, but it is. It is the biggest contributor to our economy and GDP. What is minerals and mining? What is that? About 80% of it is extracted by fracking. It counts minerals, but the mining is also for natural gas, it's for oil, and then there's some other stuff in there, lithium and things like that, rare earth metals, all kinds of things. But the main drivers there are natural gas and oil. And every quarter, during the Trump administration, you remember what a good time that was economically. Every quarter, 28% of the economy, the largest chunk was 28 to 32%. And I did it every quarter. I pulled it. I pulled the numbers. It was the biggest chunk of our economy, the biggest driver, always 28 to 32%. So when you say, oh, we're just going to eliminate that, that'll go away. And yeah, we don't need it. Wow. You're talking about economic suicide. That's what we're contemplating. And Democrats throw this out like we just won't even notice. We already can't buy houses. We're struggling to buy food. Yeah, let's get rid of it. Yeah, let's go away. No big deal. You won't notice. I love these liberals. They expect to drive their stupid little cars like up to the gas pump and fill them up. Or, get this, this is the funniest part, to plug the car into the wall and they think energy will come out. Not if we ban fracking, it won't. I don't use gas. I'm a liberal. I prefer clean energy. Oh, cool. Where's the energy come from? The wall. It comes from the wall. It comes from the plug in the wall. Cool. Where's that come from? Gaia? Fracking, you idiot. It comes from fracking, which is the mining and minerals category, 28 to 32% of our economy, depending on the quarter. So this is not just fracking and, hey, where would you like to get your energy from when you plug your little car in the wall? This is life or death. We move food with energy. Go. Listen to the casualness here. Kamala Harris, will you ban fracking?
And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
She made it clear on the debate stage in 2020. I'm not flip-flopping here. Actually, she is. CNN Cole busted her butt on Lion last night. No, me, I've never got me. No, I'm not against fracking. I made it clear in 2020. I'm not against fracking. Here's the CNN fact checks. That true?
The only debate she participated in 2020 was the general election debate with then Vice President Mike Pence. And I went over the transcript of that debate tonight. Nowhere in there does she make clear that she had abandoned her previous support for a fracking ban. Rather, she repeated that Joe Biden, the head of the Democratic ticket at the time, would himself not ban fracking. So listen to what she actually said in that 2020 debate.
Joe Biden will not end fracking. He has been very clear about that. I will repeat, and the American people know, that Joe Biden will not ban fracking.
So it makes perfect sense that at the time she was speaking on behalf of Biden, the president, not the vice president, sets administration policy. But maybe other people feel differently. I certainly did not hear anywhere in there Kamala Harris saying that she personally had abandoned her previously expressed 2019 view. Rather, again, she was speaking for Joe Biden.
Let's do it in two words. She lied. She lied her rear end off, and that's why she didn't want to do this interview. She cannot answer the questions. Not because there's something wrong with her, although I do think she's a little off. You can't, when you flip-flop like this, you can't answer the question.
And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, sure, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
Again, CNN.
The only debate she participated in 2020 was the general election debate with then Vice President Mike Pence. And I went over the transcript of that debate tonight. Nowhere in there does she make clear that she had abandoned her previous support for a fracking ban. Rather, she...
That's the CNN fact checker. And what did she and Joe actually do when they took office?
The Biden-Harris administration on day one, when they took office, banned fracking on federal lands. That is a fact. So if she's so for fracking, why did she allow that to happen? But of course, Dana Bash didn't bring that up.
Yep. There you go. Unburdened by the passage of time. What is the real Kamala Harris thing here? Let's just be clear. What does she actually think?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. You know, we have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. I think about this issue through the lens of my baby nieces, who are 1.5 and 3 years old. And when I look at those babies and I think about what the world will be like in 20 years if we don't act, I'm really afraid.
That's the real Kamala Harris right there. So there was that time when I served in Iraq. Or was it Afghanistan? I don't know. We were pinned down by the Taliban. I thought I was going to die. And thankfully, I was holding my weapon of war. And we escaped. Wait a minute. That didn't happen. It's all coming back to me now. Sorry, that was just a grammar error. Tim Walz, man. What is wrong with that? We need a psychological study of this guy. This guy is badly off. Talking about how he says he carried a weapon of war, a gun, he means, in war, and he wants to take yours. You carried it in war? You sure about that? Did you? I know it's been a number of years. Are you sure you went to war? Yeah, people can be. He just explained that people can become confused and make grammatical errors, like saying they were in war when they were not in war. Ever?
You said that you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country. Equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So
he's not answering the question. So, to her credit, one of the few follow-ups she did when they lied, Dana Bash, CNN. Well, that we know of, I mean, because the interview was heavily edited. She asked him again, okay, but you said you carried it in war.
And the idea that you said that you were in war. Yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English, you told my grammar's not always correct. But again...
Yeah, I said in war, and what I meant was us in Italy. Yeah, because the base is there. Didn't deploy into the actual war, though. All my buddies did. I was their leader. When I found out I had to go, I quit, which is fine. I mean, you know, you'd serve 24 years. Everybody honors you for that, serving the National Guard. The problem is, when you wanted to get the glory of having been in war, you told everybody you served with your buddies in war when you never got beyond Italy, where you deployed for some training. And maybe ate too much one night and had a, you know, need a little Pepto-Bismol, and it felt like war. But I mean, ISIS was not war. And that is not a grammar error.
And the idea that you said that you were in war. Yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English, you told my grammar's not always correct. But again...
So hard to get that grammar right. In war, out of war, in war, in Italy. It's very confusing. Maybe he was drunk, like really drunk. Like he was when he got that DUI and then lied about the cops, said the cop was confused, thought he was drunk, but it was just his hearing problem that he doesn't have from war that he wasn't in. So there was that time when I served in Iraq, or was it Afghanistan? I don't know. We were pinned down by the Taliban. I thought I was going to die. And thankfully, I was holding my weapon of war and we escaped. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That didn't happen. It's all coming back to me now. Sorry, that was just a grammar error. Tim Walz, man. What is wrong with that? We need a psychological study of this guy. This guy is badly off. Talking about how he says he carried a weapon of war, a gun, he means, in war, and he wants to take yours. You carried it in war? You sure about that? I know it's been a number of years. Are you sure you went to war? Yeah, people can be, he just explained that people can become confused and make grammatical errors. Like saying they were in war when they were not in war. Ever?
You said that you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country. Equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So
he's not answering the question. So, to her credit, one of the few follow-ups she did when they lied, Dana Bash, CNN. Well, that we know of, I mean, because the interview was heavily edited. She asked him again, okay, but you said you carried it in war.
And the idea that you said that you were in war. Yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English, you told my grammar's not always correct. But again.
Yeah, I said in war. And what I meant was us in Italy. Yeah, because the base is there. Didn't deploy into the actual war, though. All my buddies did. I was their leader. When I found out I had to go, I quit, which is fine. I mean, you know, you'd serve 24 years. Everybody honors you for that, serving the National Guard. The problem is, when you wanted to get the glory of having been in war, you told everybody you served with your buddies in war when you never got beyond Italy, where you deployed for some training. I maybe ate too much one night and had a, you know, need a little Pepto-Bismol, and it felt like war. But I mean, ISIS was not war. And that is not a grammar error.
And the idea that you said that you were in war. Yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English, you told my grammar's not always correct. But again,
so hard to get that grammar right. In war, out of war, in war, in Italy. It's very confusing. Maybe he was drunk, like really drunk, like he was when he got that DUI and then lied about the cops, said the cop was confused, thought he was drunk, but it was just his hearing problem that he doesn't have from war that he wasn't in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.